I can say good morning. Glad to be here with you this morning, and I'm going to give a lesson here. And I already mentioned to some of the brethren that I was going to teach how we ought to hate more. So I imagine some might be ready to tell me when to sit down. but that's one of the things that I had looked at, and I believe that we should. I often teach on love. I like to teach on that because I so appreciate the love of God and what it is that he's done for us, and how it is that we ought to really love God and to love one another. And of course, that's true. And if we love God, then we'll keep his commandments. And that's the thing as far as we always want to be looking into is examining ourselves, whether we're keeping his commandments the way he would have us to. And he's such a gracious God that we can go on living and working out our salvation and being not quite up to what it is that we should be. And we are the ones that more than anyone else needs to be looking to that to see where we are. I was thinking about this when Evan gave that talk, and he was talking about when God went to the garden after Adam had sinned, and he says, "Where are you?" And I was thinking, like, yeah, that's what I've been thinking about. Where am I? And what is God thinking about me? Is he saying to me, "Where are you?" Because I'm not where I should be. And of course, I recognize, and some of you may recognize as well in me, that I'm not where I should be in some things. And I hope that that would bring about prayers to God on my behalf. And anything that you might be able to encourage me in or admonish me. So that's all a part of living Christianity, and that's all good and well. And so one of the things that I was thinking about, I've been examining myself in, is and a desire that I have that I'm not accomplishing in the time that I want to, and the question is why, and that thing is me getting back more to where I was at one point, being one who did the work of seeking souls, evangelism, and I've been quite involved in that. As I gave a lesson one time before, you probably remember when I told JJ what I was going to speak about. You know, when I mentioned evangelism, he says, "Well, you're going to be able to do that in 25 minutes? Because the last time I spoke about it, I wasn't. I didn't do very well with that. And I brought out a lot of things, and then we just plain ran out of time, so I wasn't able really to make my points on those things. So hopefully this time, as far as I can keep it to the time that we have set for it. But yes, I want to I want to do better than what I'm doing. And so I have to look at that as far as, and just examine why. And it's where it is that I've got to align myself more with God, because we see that our God, the love that he had, and of course, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I should love in that way that I give myself, that I make sacrifices in my life that I can do God's will in seeking the lost. And so when we look at the world around about us and we see people that are, they don't know what we know. They don't have what we have. And we have the ability to guide them toward this, of knowing God, knowing God's will, and then being a part of that and having this hope, this great hope, like what it is that we have. And that thing, the thing about that, when I've been engaged in that, more so that I know that I have more joy in my life, because it's a great rejoicing when it is you see someone who gets it, that you speak to them, and then the light comes on, and they begin to understand what God has done for them. They begin to understand that they've been deceived, perhaps in some religious way, and that they're following something that's false. It's not going to get them to where they want to be. And the light comes on, and then they obey, and then there's a great rejoicing because we've added to our number. We have someone to share the love of God with, and that's what really brings the joy. Someone that we can share the love of God with. And I want to share that more. And that's something as far as that I'm not, it's missing in my life. That joy that I once had in being a part of that. And so I want to, and I hope your prayers for me will be that I can improve on that, that I could do better. And the thing is, I got myself that's hindering me. You know, I just self-diagnosed just this earlier this year that I have attention deficit disorder. I'm not the only one. And it's just a part of life. I never realized that until I started reading about it looking at the symptoms of it. And I said, yeah, that's my problem. That's what I got. So it hinders me from doing some of the things, even some of the spiritual things that I should be able to do, because, you know, it's difficult to collect the thoughts together and to hold them where it is that they need to be. And that's what I got to improve in. And it's something that affects a great part of my life. Maddie, sometimes as far as, you know, how do you lose your phone? How do you lose your keys? And I just not paying attention to what I did with it. And I just can't remember. And so I'm searching the whole house. And I was searching this morning for my phone. And I asked her to call, and she said she's getting ready to call. I said, okay, that's all right. I find it. It's in my pocket. I don't remember putting it in my pocket, but that's where it is. And so, you know, it's something where there's certain things you don't give attention to. But this we have to give attention to. We have to give attention to the Word of God. And so my love needs to grow perhaps back to where it once was before. And not only that, my hatred also needs to grow. And Psalms chapter 119 is one I look at, couple verses there. But we see the love of God, how it is that He wants souls to be converted. And God also knows that there are going to be some that are not going to convert. And that's why it says in Psalms in chapter 5, well, let me go first and read that, Psalms 5, verses 5 through 10. Okay, it says, the boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out of the multitude of, out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. And so we see a God that has a great love for humanity. But we see a God also that He hates sin. It's not this for He doesn't hate the soul that He created, but the actions of them. And that, because those actions lead them down to destruction. And it's His justice that, as the psalmist is requesting, that they be destroyed. And that's what's going to happen. And so our love for God and our hate for evil will cause us to have a desire to want to serve people by trying to draw them out of that evil before they go down that path of destruction, where it is that there's nothing that God can do because they totally rebelled against Him. And so people are being driven to that point all the time. And what we want to do, because we love God and we hate evil as God does, we want to try to catch them before they get to that point and to guide them and lead them back to God. And so we have to align ourselves with God and His mindset, and that we love souls, but we hate evil. We have a strong aversion to it. And that's what we see the psalmist saying here in Psalm 119, verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And see, not of course, I'm not going to speak on, we don't have a personal hatred toward any person. We love them. Even if they do us evil, we don't hate them. We hate the evil that they do. We don't hate them. It's not a personal thing. But because we hate the evil and we love them, we want to turn them from the evil to what's good and right. And so we see that God here, He has, He's given us instruction. He's given us His word, His precepts, His commandments, that we can gain understanding. And if we gain understanding, that the more understanding we gain in it, the more we hate falsehood, the more we hate that. And I think it should begin with our own selves. Where is it in us that there's something false? Where is it that I look to my life and I see that, well, I have certain desires. I have something, I have knowledge of what's right and what's good. But then for some reason, I don't do that good. Like commanded to go out and seek the lost. If I don't do that, like I know that according to God's word that I should, well, why? If I understand God's precepts, then I should be hating evil, every evil and false way. And some of those false statements can be in with ourselves. What am I telling myself? What do I believe my values are? Because that's what I should be doing. I should be living and acting according to the values that I have. And if I value life, then there should be within me a desire to promote life. And there's no better way to promote life than to show people God's way, God's will, God's graciousness, his love, his hope, God's compassion, so that they can be drawn away from evil to the truth. They get them to understand God's precepts so they may begin to hate evil. You know, we all hate evil. That's why we're not participating in it. You know, we have an aversion to it. We want to do what's right and good because we know that God loves us. But there may be errors in our life, and this is what I'm examining and look at, that I may not be hating it to the degree that I should. What false thing, what am I telling myself that's hindering me? What am I doing that's hindering me? And it could be anything, anything that you may be working on. And I hope that there's something in all of us as far as that we look to and says, you know, I need to be better at this. You know, that if I can be better at this, then God is glorified. And and whatever that thing is, you know, what is the hindrance? Is there anything false in us? Because it can be, as far as, you know, we think that we're pretty good persons. We go about and but we are not always as we think we are. And that's why we got to examine ourselves to see what's true and what's good and right so that we may be true men and do what it is that that we really and truly value. He mentions again in verse 128, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. And your translation probably got a little bit different, but he says, I hate every false way. Every false way, not just some. Everything that is contrary to the goodness of God. I don't care what it is. Everything. Every false way. You know, I was talking a couple of weeks ago to a Hebrew Israelite, and you're talking about a false way. And it's, I thought it was something that had kind of died out, but it hasn't. Because when I was young in the faith, in Albany, Georgia, there were so many of them. And I thought, well, you know, I thought it died out because I didn't see many here in Charlotte. But I talked to one, and it's being promoted all over the internet, Facebook, YouTube, videos, telling people that, you black people, you are the true Israelites, and you are the only ones that can be saved. Nobody else. And they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. He's just a man that was, a son of Joseph. I hate that. And you look at these televangelists. I'll mention one, Joel Osteen. Oh, the man can talk so, man, what a talker. He's so smooth. And he has attracted so many people in a false way. And I hate that. And for him to be so ingrained in that, I wonder if there's any hope for a person like that who is deceiving people for financial gain to that degree. And when we look at people, and I don't know who is that promoting this Hebrew Israelite thing, but what kind of person is that? It's an evil person. It's someone who's wicked. It's someone who is working not for God, but for Satan. You know, having hatred, this type that is showing us of God, and that we can gain as we understand God's precepts, it's not an emotional thing where you just, it's intellectual. Now, it can lead into some emotion and that we have a passion to do what's good and what's right. But it's something where if we have this, if we understand God's precept, that's not the only thing that it promotes in us. In Psalms in chapter 19, in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We understand and get understanding of God's precepts, we have joy. And so this hatred is not something that's inward and it's just affected. It's inward, but it's just a strong desire to want to do what's good and right and to abhor what is not good. So we distinguish by understanding the precepts of God. We distinguish good from evil. And it's not something where it is that we decide ourselves and that we have just an opinion of. It's got to be according to God's precepts, according to his law, according to his will. And so even though I hate evil, I have rejoicing in my heart because of the goodness of God, the love of God, the hope that God's given, not only for me, but for the world. If we could just get some, and we will, get some to turn from evil and do what's good. And I got to find a way to be more involved in that. And as I do, the more joy I'm going to have. I understand God's precepts, or the more I engage and understand them, and I can help others understand His precept, then we can rejoice together. So this love has to be hatred of evil. It has to be matched with a sincere love, the love that was shown over here in Romans in chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy or genuine. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A fervent spirit to love God and to do what God's will is and what is good before God. And a fervent spirit to hate what is evil. And this is developed out of understanding God's precept and genuine love. And so we see that, there's all sorts of evil that, my time is about up and I don't have time to go into, so many things, but I want to emphasize every evil way, every false way, whether it doesn't matter, religious or whatever, political, if it's evil and it's false and it's contrary to the will of God, like the people that are trying to destroy the nuclear family, I hate it. I hate that. I hate anything that, goes against the goodness of God and what He has provided for us. And so there are things that we have to be careful that we don't just get so engaged in that it become an emotional thing that, you know, oh, I hate this and I hate that and this and that. You know, because I wonder about Lot and why he stayed there in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it mentions him in 2 Peter chapter 2. Why did he stay there with all the evil and wickedness that was going on around about him? And he has his reasons. Well, you think, well, should he have moved or could he have moved? Well, he didn't. And so it said of him in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. He says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." And so there's a lot of things, you know, that wicked and lawless and evil things that are going on. Well, we don't want our mind just to be engaged in that. It says tormenting. It's vexing, as other scriptures would say. But we do see it. And there is a certain vexing of our spirit because of the evil that we see in the world. And that's just a righteous man. That's gonna be one who understands God's precepts and hates these false ways. There's gonna be a certain amount of vexing that goes along with it, but we're not to be a part of it. And I'll close with this verse in Ephesians, in chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, that we are not to have ourselves in a part of that. So we have to examine what we are engaged in and what we communicate with and what we agree with and what we think is okay. We got to make sure that that's God's mind. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Expose them. So that people can see and understand the evil and the wickedness and how it is that it goes against the will of God. And those that rebel, yes, they're going to be destroyed. But how can we save some to keep them from being deceived through these evil and wicked ways? What can we do? So I'm going to leave with that. Thank you.